Visible is a wireless carrier that is not invisible. It is pretty clear from the name. Actually, radio waves are invisible. And I can say this with authority as a licensed amateur radio operator. That being said, Visible won't be giving you the power to see light outside the visible spectrum. It's actually way better because having that ability would make getting around very difficult and distracting. What you do get with Visible is unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You get one line of wireless, just $25 a month, which is great in these times of economic uncertainty. That is one line for $25, taxes and fees included. So whatever you're doing at this moment, please stop. Switch immediately. Now, monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com. Wir gerne sehen, was ist los? It's deinen Freund Seth. I'm learning German. Yeah, in case you didn't know what that was. That is me trying to impress you with the little German that I know. Right now, I am actually learning German. I took it in high school. I goofed off the entire time. I did some other language learning apps. They taught me things like where the taxi stand is and how to find a bus, but not a lot of conversational German. Thankfully, that's what Babbel is all about. Babbel teaches you language conversationally, which, let's face it, that is what you want to know anyway. I don't know. When I was in school, you learned like how to count. You learned like the colors. You learned the shapes. Those are all important things, but they don't help you when you're in like Cologne, Germany with Ein Nierenstein, which, by the way, is German for kidney stone, an experience I can unfortunately speak personally to. But I've been using Babbel to learn to speak German again, better than I have before. I actually really like it because it is conversational. It's a little bit more relaxed. One of the things that it does that I really like is it'll sometimes show you what the literal English translation is. And I don't know why, but I find that very helpful in sort of understanding the structure, the grammar of a language and sort of putting myself into that mind space. Since I'm only in Germany for Gamescom, which is like a week, week and a half, I'm not immersed in the German language. I'm not immersed in German culture. So what I do is the second best thing. I'm taking Babbel. Hopefully this year when I go to Germany, I'll be able to impress all the Germans with how much German I know from learning through Babbel. The app has pronunciation recognition, so you'll be able to learn how to speak better with your accent, how to actually properly pronounce the words. That way you won't get made fun of by a group of older German men because you said apple strudel and not Apfelstrudel. No, it's really cool. I'm going to say right now there is a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now you can get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners, because you guys are the best ones, by the way, at babbel.com/realm. Get 60% off at babbel.com/realm. That is spelled babbel.com/realm. Rules and restrictions may apply. Good morning, Super Ninfriendos, and welcome to a very special episode of Nintendo Voice Chat. Brian comes to terms with his nitrous addiction. No, I'm just kidding. We finally got the long-awaited, highly anticipated June Nintendo Direct in the form of a Nintendo Direct mini partner showcase that focused mostly on third-party games. But whatever, we will take it. I am your host, Seth Macy. I am joined by the award-winning Kat Bailey, Per Schneider, and Brian Altano. Greetings, all.
You hold on. You can't do that joke and then cut to me and I'm laughing because it just makes it look like I have a nitrous addiction. Like if you had said something else like that, like would make me sad and I'm laughing, then I could, you know, throw people off the trail. But for now, just got it. I don't have a nitrous addiction.
We're here for you regardless. No. Yeah.
It's a special episode because it's Tuesday and I believe it is 4:30 in the morning on the West Coast.
Right. That's right.
Now. So
yeah, something like
it's
that.
It's noon here and I'm getting real hungry for lunch, but let's dive right in to the discussion of today's Nintendo Direct Mini. The biggest surprise of the show, I think it's probably one of the things that everybody was the most hopeful for, was Persona 5 Royal finally coming to Nintendo Switch October 21st. Oh, but also Persona 4 Golden and Persona 3 Portable are coming soon, whatever that means. Who's excited for Persona 5 coming to Nintendo Switch. I'm looking at you, Kat.
This has been a long time coming. I think literally as soon as we heard that the Nintendo Switch had been announced, we were like, Persona 4 Golden would be really great on the Nintendo Switch. And then it just kept never happening because apparently there's like an exclusivity deal going on with PlayStation of some sort that we don't know about. And then, of course, Persona 5 came out. Joker came onto Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. And we were like, okay, now for sure, Persona 5 definitely going to be on Nintendo Switch. Kept never happening.
Yeah.
Finally, it's happening. I'm very excited.
I'm excited 10 years ago.
Oh,
no, how does that even work? Like,
look, I love Persona 5. I think it's incredible.
That's the Switch tagline.
And
now.
I think if you've never played it and you've been wondering what all the fuss is about, it's just a fantastic RPG where even the menus are oozing style. Like every corner of that game is so wonderfully designed, from the music to the characters to the crazy levels. You have to play it if you haven't played it. One of the best role-playing games of all time. But I'm just not so excited because it's a giant game that I don't think I'll play again. I'm not going to find those 100 hours somewhere in my schedule. And so to everybody who's never played it, you're getting top-tier gaming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's Persona well. 5 Royal as well. So
That's right.
It's the best version. And
yep.
P4 Golden, P3 Portable, you're set. You never have to play any more games ever.
That is, a lot of the announcements in this Direct, it's not just one Mega Man game, it's like 10, right?
Yeah.
And like, it's the same here where it's a pretty daunting collection to play through all the Personas, but amazing games.
It is a...
Well,
what were you going to say, Seth?
I was going to say, it's not a collection. They're releasing at different times. And somebody in the Facebook group, the NBC Facebook group, noticed that the Persona 5 Royal Edition is getting a physical release, which, hey, oh boy,
very nice.
I'm very excited for that one. But Brian, what were you going to say in regards to Persona? I know you're a huge JRPG fan.
I do love JRPGs. I tried to dabble in the Persona games before, and they just didn't click with me. But I'm happy for the people who are excited for them. To what Kat was saying, it is a sort of fascinating stagger of getting Joker and Smash. What, like, 3-4 years ago? Like, how
2018.
Many? How many Game Awards ago was that?
It was right after Smash Bros. Ultimate came out. Yeah,
exactly. And so it is a long time coming, and I'm happy for the people who are excited for this.
I think that it works especially well on a portable device because it's kind of a bite-sized thing, right? Because you're going day by day. You're in a high school life. And so you're like, I'm going to play a couple days in Persona 5 Royal. Okay, that was nice. And then you turn it off and you can kind of move on. Now, granted, the text boxes take a long time. The dungeons are pretty intense. But ultimately, I feel like these games were made to be on a handheld device rather than just sitting and staring at your normal TV all the time. So I'm glad to have the option for once.
That's where I'm at. I have it on PlayStation 4 and I started playing it and I was like, oh, this is really great. But I just don't. And it's so stupid. I don't like playing RPGs on the TV. I like playing handheld. I like being able to put it down when I want to put it down and fall asleep. So I'm very excited to play Persona 5 on the Nintendo Switch. What I think is ultimately going to happen after all my talking is I'll probably just play it on the TV. But yeah, that's probably the biggest news I would say out of the Direct. I don't know if anybody wants to disagree with me, but I'm the host, so I can say whatever I want. I know that people are very excited. Thanks. Oh, all right. Wobbly wobbly.
I think Nier Automata coming to the Switch is also pretty big news.
Yeah.
That's another 2017 darling. Did really well. 6.5 million copies sold. That's really, really good given
that. I never would have predicted that.
The original Nier did like 100,000, right?
Yeah.
So just think about that leap. And I think that it's going to go over really, really well with Switch fans.
Yeah, as far as bigger announcements, there definitely wasn't a third-party Megaton, right? This is not the GameCube Resident Evil rollout or anything like it. But there were a couple of other announcements of original titles we didn't know about from Devolver or from from Square, new full-fledged farming adventure game. There are obviously a lot of those out there. If you boot up Steam, you'll find a lot of cozy games nowadays and lots of farming games, but this is a top studio making a game in a popular genre, so I'm really looking forward to what they bring to the table. Looks pretty good.
Harvestella.
We'll get into those games a little bit later, but I also wanted to bring up how the show opens with Monster Hunter Rise, mm-hmm. Sunbreak. We get a story trailer. And I really like Monster Hunter Rise. It's the only Monster Hunter that stuck with me. And I've been wanting an excuse to get back into it. And that trailer was really hype. I really liked that trailer a lot. And now I wasn't sure if I was going to get Sunbreak. I'm kind of leaning towards it now. So mission successful, Capcom. Way to go. Your marketing has worked on me. Anyone else excited to play some Sunbreak?
Seth, did you ever finish Monster Hunter Rise? I'm just out of...
I didn't finish.
Okay.
My youngest son and I were going to play it together. He was very excited. And then he went and he played another 1,000 hours of Garry's Mod, because that's what teenage boys do now. So
we
unfortunately, no.
In my family, we played a lot of Monster Hunter Rise, but then my daughter had to go back to Japan to college, and her dorm connection is awful. So, you know, she's coming to visit again this summer. Maybe we'll pick it up and play some Sunbreak. Because, yeah, it looks good. I mean, the Capcom just has a way with big stuff on screen that, you know, you kind of have to squint and go, wait, is this running on Switch? Some of the creatures just look incredible, I think.
Does anybody else want to blame their children for why they didn't finish a video game?
Yeah.
All the discourse
speak now.
Well, it's clearly her fault.
It is her fault, yeah. And you know what? And Seth, it's your kid's fault too.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, it is, little tyke fella. Kat, what were you saying?
I was going to say all the discourses. Are you going to play on Switch or are you going to play on PC? But
I know that a lot of people want that. Yeah, that 60 FPS goodness. But I don't know. It's fun to play on the Switch. It's probably the best looking game on Nintendo Switch.
You think
in my
so?
Opinion.
Yeah, what do you think it's the best looking game on Switch? I think Breath of the Wild is still up there.
Yeah. Well, okay. I would say Mario is probably the prettiest.
I'm biased, but I honestly think Link's Awakening, just because of the art style. I think it's like...
I know. I was on Summer Games Done Quick yesterday. Yeah. Oh my God, it looks so good.
That's also very pretty, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely the Nintendo Nintendo first party stuff. It still looks the best, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. Yeah. Fair enough. I will say that Monster Hunter Rise looks better than I think it has any right to look. As far as just technical achievement on Switch, I think technically it looks better than even the first party Nintendo games. It's a great game and it's very fun. And now we can all play it again. Kat, you have 100 hours into Monster Hunter Rise.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you get a group in a game like Monster Hunter Rise and you just play pretty regularly. And we managed to get all the way up to HR 100. And so Sunbreak's going to come out. It's going to have the Master Rank. So you got more stuff to grind toward, more
all
gear.
Right.
All your gear is useless now. It's going to be great. So I am looking forward. And then they add a lot of quality of life improvements to Sunbreak. They're escaping me. I wish we had Casey here to tell us all about
them. I was
going to
say, Casey is probably having an absolutely wonderful day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So I think if you missed Rise the first time around, like, this is actually a pretty great time to get into it. Unfortunately, Monster Hunter World had a great way to be able to grind through really fast and get to the, you know, the expansion content, but not this time. So just settle in and grind.
Monster Hunter Rise, I believe, is on sale right now for their big, what are they? They're calling it the big old summer sale. So if you want to pick it up, I think it's like half off. So that's exciting. So, all right. Another Capcom game, which, I wasn't expecting, and also I have never played any of these games. Mega Man Battle Network Legacy Collection. 10 games.
That's a
and
threat.
These are first of all, I didn't know there were 10 Mega Man Battle Network games. I thought there was like 3 for some reason.
No.
So I've never played any of these games, with the exception, I think I played one of them for my Analog Pocket review. I'm a huge sucker for the Mega Man collections. I have them several times because I love them all so much. Mega Man is like one of my favorite characters of all time, so I'm really looking forward
to this. Japanese series, it's kind of hard to tell how many there are because they're not ever numbered 1, 2, 3. There's always like X-19 Atelier Edition, right? So there are a ton of them, and to me it's daunting. I've played a few of them back in the days, but I'm like, I wouldn't even know where to start.
The first one?
Yeah, that's a great place.
Yeah.
There's a lot of love for the Battle Network games, which is funny because I remember back when they were still coming out, people were like, oh, another Battle Network game. Typical Capcom, just running Capcom, Mega Man to the ground. Now people are like, you know what was amazing and underrated? Mega Man Battle Network.
Yep. Oh, it reminds me of like when we were getting a Castlevania game every year or two, and everybody was just kind of like, another one? And then they just stopped forever. So good work, complainers. Thanks a lot. No, this, I'm a fan of these collections. I'm a big fan of, you know, finding any excuse to bring vintage legacy video games back to modern platforms for, you know, historical preservation's sake. And also because it's like, I don't know, people really love these games. And I'm in the same boat as all of you. I was like a little confused in the moment of how many games were coming out. It felt like a lot of games at the time were kind of chasing that Pokemon thing of like, let's just have a bunch of different versions and you can interact with each other and stuff like that. IGN should do a list ranking all 10 of these games so people know where to start. I mean, you could start chronologically, of course, but just throwing that out there. If anybody works at IGN on this show, we could figure that out.
Get Kim to do it. When he heard that Mega Man Battle Network Legacy Collection was coming, it was just like, yes.
Nice.
So there's your fan right there.
Yeah, there it is. We'll go dump some work on Matt Kim's desk.
Yeah.
Award-winning journalist,
he's
Matt
not
Kim.
He's not doing anything. Yeah, it's the 10 games, and then they said something like 1,000 images, like archival
a gallery
images, which, oh man.
I love that stuff.
Yeah, me too.
I absolutely love that. On the Mega Man Legacy Collection and the Mega Man X Legacy Collections, it's just like these beautiful, you know, especially on a big screen TV, these just beautiful artworks that maybe you've never seen before. I'm a total sucker for that. And also, I'm a sucker for a physical release. So I'm going to be buying this one. But if you download it, you can choose to get like one half or the other or both. You don't have to get them all, I guess. It's a little sample platter, but this year I decided I actually wanted to like follow hockey a little bit more than just the most casual of casuals. So I subscribed to a service that streams all of the NHL to your television. The Boston Bruins home opener, I went to watch it and boom, blackout restrictions apply, which I thought was kind of ridiculous because I'm still 200 miles away from Boston, but whatever. Had I had NordVPN, that wouldn't have been a problem. I would have just gone in, changed my settings to another geographic area, and boom, I could have been watching all the Boston Bruins home games like it was nothing at all. So now I have NordVPN and I can watch the home games of my local teams streaming without being frustrated. It's the same thing with like Netflix. It has all these complicated licensing rules, which from one country to another don't really make sense. So something you could watch on South Korean Netflix, you won't be able to watch on the United States Netflix unless NordVPN, boom, switch to South Korea and you're watching whatever Korean drama that you want. I highly recommend you do that. I haven't done it myself, but people seem to enjoy them. And who am I to try to bring down people's enjoyment? NordVPN, more than just entertainment and sports availability, it's going to protect you, especially when you're traveling, when you're using public Wi-Fi. People are trying to get in there. They're creeping on you. Bad actors, people trying to steal your password, your bank account details. Who knows what the government's doing these days? I can't keep track. They're all over the damn place. NordVPN, it's going to protect you. It's going to protect up to 6 devices because I know you have at least that many devices in front of you right now that can hook up to the internet. Boom. Fastest VPN in the world. You're not going to get any buffering. You're not going to get any lagging. It's going to stop your ISP from bandwidth throttling, which they do. That's kind of sneaky, especially how much you're paying those guys. There's threat protection to protect you from viruses and malicious malware and whatever else. Unsavory actors are out there. If you want to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/NintendoVC. That's nordvpn.com/NintendoVC. Victor Charlie. That link is also going to give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There is no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. That's nice of them, and I appreciate that.
Here's a quick question for you. How did you sleep last night? If your battle for a good night's sleep feels relentless, I have the answer. It's a podcast called Sleepwave, with meditations and hypnosis created to help you fall asleep. My relaxation techniques will help you feel calm and ready for sleep with soft music that will help you fall asleep in minutes. Most listeners never hear the end of an episode. So search Sleepwave on your favorite podcast app and find out why over a million people have fallen asleep to my voice.
Yeah, and then the other really big news, which leaked yesterday, was the Mario & Rabbids release date, which is coming October 20th, which is going to be a busy October. But yeah, they showed off the new style of play. There's no more grid. It's more like a little circle area of effect type of thing. Probably the biggest surprise is Bowser shows up at the end with a giant like bazooka. And they're like, mm-hmm. See you in October.
When you said leaked, I immediately heard Yoda's voice saying, Ubisoft, you speak of Ubisoft. Yeah, everything Ubisoft leaks. It's pretty crazy. I loved seeing the new footage. Obviously, having Bowser on your team is cool. But like, I'm looking forward to playing it because it's so different, right? You used to, like in Fire Emblem, you used to be able to draw your path and tell your character where to go. And now it's basically, it's an arena and you freely run around and then, you know, you trigger an attack when you found the place. So it looks to be playing very differently, and maybe they're trying to speed it up and make it a little bit less daunting for people who are not into turn-based.
Yeah, which is interesting because like the last game was a hit. Right, it sold really well.
Oh yes,
it seems like critically acclaimed. Audiences loved it. So, I'm wondering if they like focus tested this and they were like ditch the grid. It's interesting to me, but I'm down to try it.
Yeah. Well, there it is, October 20th, and we're gonna take a very quick break down a warp pipe, which we can't jump through because that is only something Miyamoto can do. We're gonna have plenty more of the recap from the Nintendo Direct Mini. So stick around because the Nintendo Voice Chat will be right back.
In 5, 4, 3, 2.
We're out of space.
On it.
We're going live.
Unleash the power of the Samsung 980 Pro PCIe 4.0 NVMe SSD for next level computing and double the data transfer rate of PCIe 3.0. It's 12 times faster than Samsung SATA SSDs, making for a whole new user experience. It's easy to install. Boost your PC performance, load games faster and more reliably, no matter how intensive the workload. The Samsung SSD 980 Pro and 980 Pro with HeatSync are proud partners of IGN's Summer of Gaming.
We're good.
In 5, 4, 3, 2.
Welcome back to Nintendo Voice Chat, where we are excitedly recapping the Nintendo Direct Mini. So let's get right back into it. Oh my goodness, was there some RPG goodness? There was RPG time, as a matter of fact. Oh no, that's not what the discussion is. That was an actual game. But yeah, we've already talked about Persona coming to Switch, which is probably the hugest RPG news. But there's also this new game from Square Enix called Harvestella, which I am really into.
Me too.
Yeah, it's they called it a life sim RPG. Kat, I would like to throw to you. Would you please explain to the folks at home a little bit about this game and why it has you excited?
Well, I was watching the trailer and it looks a little bit like Final Fantasy, but in Stardew Valley.
Right.
Bit of Rune Factory vibe. And it's not a top-down situation. It's fully 3D, a lush world. You're doing farming, you're fighting monsters, you're casting spells, you're kind of in a fantasy world. I'm like, okay, I love the art style of Harvestella. It's kind of a dumb name, but I think pretty much everything else really works with this one.
Yeah, it does sound like a German hazelnut spread. not sure about that name, but yeah, it looks really cool. And again, you know, as I mentioned, it's a big genre now, right? Like farming games used to be a niche, and there was at one point one game in town, then it blew up on Facebook and everybody started playing farming games. And now they're obviously everywhere. But yeah, I'm curious what they do with game systems and the kind of RPG side of it, because that was always, I always ran out of steam in farming games when it was just about the crops and the relationships and the towns. But once games opened up and actually had questing and dungeons and all of that, then it became really interesting.
Yeah, this game looks awesome. It's honestly probably one of my favorite games of the Direct today in terms of like big new surprises and stuff like that. And I'm totally with you both. The idea of just like playing a game that's just an RPG or just another Harvest Sim is fine. We have enough of those. But kind of like jamming both of those together into something new, especially with this art style, is something I'm all over.
Yeah, and I think that when you hear Square Enix is doing a Stardew Valley / Harvest Moon Clan, you're like, oh, okay. But like seeing the execution is like, okay, all right,
yeah,
I'm in, I'll try this now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, and it's also important to point out that you're doing your farming thing, you're fighting some monsters, but then there's the Quietus, which is like this big event that kills everything. And so that's, I guess, maybe what gives you your sense of purpose or urgency, is that if you're not paying enough attention, a blight will come and kill everything.
So that's interesting, because Stardew Valley is all about like, just take it at your own pace. Yeah. Like, yeah, you can min-max it, but really you have all the time in the world. So to add urgency to this genre is not something that I usually am familiar with.
Do you think it's like in Breath of the Wild where it's just like a RAM refresh where they just like, they put in the Blood Moon and they're just like, everything has, there's too much going on the Switch.
The Purge.
The Switch is sleepy.
I'd say that's entirely possible.
Yes.
We'll find out. I don't recall off the top of my head when Harvestella is coming to Switch, but this would be a great point, time to point out that they mentioned that these were direct about third-party games coming out this year. Also, there were a lot of games coming out in 2023, but that's okay. We talked a little bit about Nier Automata. Please help me
Automata?
Say this.
Is it Automata or Automata? I never know.
I'm not from here, so I say Automata.
It's if you say ouch, it's an automatopoeia. So
that's right.
That is true. That that is coming the end of your haha, which is hard. Another one that's hard to say, and I'm glad that they said it several times because I wouldn't have figured that one out. But we also had a little game called RPG Time, The Legend of Wright, which I didn't know what to expect there, but it looks like this really cute little RPG game that I'll probably spend a lot of time in. The idea is that you're a kid named Wright and you're sketching in your notepad the RPG elements, and it looks really cool, actually. I don't know. I'm curious as to what everyone else thinks. Pear, what do you think about this game?
I'm honestly, I was kind of embarrassed by the fact that when I saw it, I was like, oh yeah, I wanted to play this. And it already came out on other platforms, right? So I remember seeing the original announcement. I don't know when it was. It was some like Summer of Gaming or Game Awards show,
right,
where it was revealed. And like, yeah, the way the presentation works, it literally, the entire RPG is set in this kid's sketchbook. And it's like pieces, like there's like different materials, like, kludged together, and it looked really, really charming, but then I totally forgot about it and I never played it. So I guess I'll have to get it on Switch now.
The Switch is, oops, all RPGs at this point.
Yeah.
Which I think that's okay with.
I'm definitely good with that.
I'm in the same boat as Pear. I completely like blipped in my brain that this game existed already, but man, I love it. It's so cool looking. Like I love that art style. There have been a lot of attempts at like the sort of hand-drawn art style in games to various degrees of success, and sometimes the drawings are ugly as hell, and that doesn't necessarily, I won't call out any game specifically, but you probably know what I'm thinking of. This one specifically is just incredibly adorable and endearing. I like the little, there was like a little, it looked like a Game Boy at one point. I like how there was like a D-pad made of cardboard and stuff like that. I love that. I love that whole aesthetic.
It's really creative.
Games that don't necessarily look like games are like always very kind of special to me because they're so rare, right? I'm all over this game. I guess I'll play it on Switch or I'll play it on the other platforms it's already been released on, or, you know, do the mind wipe and pretend it's brand new.
Yeah. Sorry to hear you blipped. It's 2022, Brian.
I know. It's the nitrous.
I like that your calculator is somehow a weapon or something to do with the gameplay in this. I don't know. It looks like everything I want. And there was something in the trailer that gave me like almost a 3D dot Game Hero vibes. I don't remember exactly what it was, but man, do I love that little game. And I wish that would come to
Nintendo Switch.
Yes. I mean, Lost From Software Zelda Club.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Put that on. You know, I mean, obviously we have a lot of Zelda games on Switch, but put that one there too.
Like maybe there was a cease and desist at the time or something. It did look very much like the Legend of voxels. Zelda.
I know.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, it didn't just look. It played the dungeons.
Zelda one.
I think the boss key was this right here.
Yep. When you got like a item in the game from a treasure chest, it would go da na na na.
Yeah.
right on the precipice.
Yeah. Well, RPG Time looks like it hasn't crossed any of those boundaries, and we'll be getting that on Nintendo Switch. Mm-hmm. I am very excited. It kind of reminds me of just when I was a kid anyway. Like, I would make these RPGs in my notebooks where, you know, and then we would play them, my friends and I, like a proto D&D type of thing, but it was just drawings and making adventures, and it excites my imagination, and I didn't expect that from a game called RPG Time.
Seth, so I literally used to make like little like paper handhelds with like a screen and like fake buttons.
Oh yeah,
with like little things on the side where you can make the characters fight. Like
no, I didn't do anything like that, but yeah, we would draw like make our like an index card and make it into a Game Boy and just be like, look at this, I'm playing.
Isn't it so cool? Yeah, I love that. Yeah. It was like, and it's just really special to not have friends growing up. And
it was the best. Oh man, nothing was better than your mom bringing home a stack of 3x5 index cards and a pencil.
And being like, I got you toys.
Oh, thanks, mom. I can't even tell how envious I am that you all have index cards and I'm here with just a boss key.
Yeah, this is the hottest toy of the year right here.
Yeah, there it is.
Yep.
All right. Oh. This is probably the most exciting RPG news if your name is Pear. The Live Alive demo is out right now. In fact, before the show, I was playing the Live Alive demo. You get the three chapters and just like the opening of it. I believe it's the Edo period of Japan.
Yep.
And I'm blanking on the other two.
The Chinese story too.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Have you downloaded it yet?
Yeah, I literally walking into the office started downloading it played for exactly 4 seconds. And showed Kat and said, look, isn't it lovely? I'm really excited. And they're doing demos right again because your save progress actually carries over to the full game. So
yes.
This is such a wild card of a game where I think a lot of people need the demo to figure out if it's for them. Because it's a really unique RPG, and the battle system is, at least in the original, was very, very different from Final Fantasies and other contemporary games like that.
But yeah,
it was on a kind of a grid-based system, like we talked about Mega Man Battle Network. It was a grid-based system where you position your character in different places. It's not left side versus right side. It's very different. Ultimately, I don't think the battle system is the game's strength. It's the storytelling, the music, and the way it all comes together. And like what you're seeing when you start this demo, you can see all the chapters and you can pick from this rotating ring of characters to start one of the stories. And obviously you got three available. And like all of that connects and it's beautiful. I love that game.
I will let you know, I have played a little more of the demo than you and the battle system is intact. I started with the Shinobi character because I'm a child of the 80s and the ninja was the greatest thing to exist. But yeah, it is unbelievably good looking. And I just wish that Square Enix would release every old game in the 2D3D style, which is something that they mentioned actually during the Nintendo Direct Mini. They specifically said the 2D 3D or the 3D 2D style, which got me excited that maybe they were gonna talk about, you know.
Was there a quote like a couple weeks ago where their president was like, make more of these?
Yeah they look great.
It works.
As a Live Alive fan, I'm curious, like, how's the transition into 2D 3D?
It looks just like you remember it, but it doesn't, right? Like Live Alive was one of the reasons people cited for it not being released in the West was that Final Fantasy had moved forward on the in the visuals department, that Live Alive just kind of paled by comparison, and they thought American players wouldn't be into it after seeing how good 5 and 6 looked, right? And so, which was a pity. It didn't look as good. It's totally true. Now it obviously does. The Japan chapter was always gorgeous, but some of the other chapters were a little drab looking. And that's all fixed now.
Yeah, I gotta say, it is amazing looking. Incredible lighting effects, the way that the depth of field is achieved, colors, especially on the OLED screen. This is a game that I'm gonna be playing a lot of, and I'm pretty damn excited. I pre-ordered it forever ago, so hopefully that one doesn't get canceled like my Pocky and Rocky did. But anyway, yeah, whatever. I'll get it on the gray market.
Don't buy animals on the gray market.
No, don't buy the only on the colorful markets. buy them there. So we do have to take a very quick break so we can pull a Kirby and randomly inhale something into our room to immediately alter our physical forms to comedic and sometimes grotesque results. So stick around because we will be right back.
Hi everyone, I'm Alan Wheeler here to bring you recaps of the best and biggest moments from Summer of Gaming, and I gotta say this year has just been incredible. As you can hear, this year has been very exciting, and I'm so excited.
What the
Did you know they call Callisto the Dead Moon? Dead. Gives me chills every time.
PlayStation. Welcome back to Nintendo Voice Chat's live coverage of today's mini Nintendo Direct. We're gonna keep the party going right now and continue to talk about all of the biggest, best, and wildest reveals from today. So let's do that. Hey guys.
And then we're supposed to start yelling about it.
Yeah, you're supposed to just start screaming. Let's talk about the biggest show of the game, obviously, was what? Pac-Man Pack Attack.
Pac-Man World Repack.
Yes.
Which is a remake of the 90s game.
First one. Yeah, there's three, right? Those games were pretty decent. They never rose to the height of like a Mario 3D game, but they were really competent games. And as you see, if you watch the footage, it mixes all sorts of different play styles. So you got the exploration stuff, you got like shmup and racing and everything in there too.
In terms of like vintage video game mascots that transition into 3D, valiant efforts there, you know, like
sure, yeah,
there have been larger stumbles. I think they're totally fine, serviceable kind of platformer collectathons, and they're fun and they're charming. And I'm interested to see what they're doing in terms of modernizing these games. And like back then, the issues with games like this were always stuff like camera and frame rate,
yeah,
and stuff
stiff,
like that. So hopefully they update some of that stuff.
Yeah, I would say in general, I think the Pac-Man franchise has been pretty strong. It's kind of like Pac-Man is such an odd character because the way he looked in the original is not the way he looks now, right? Like and Namco has gone into all sorts of directions as to what the character looks like. Sometimes he's got legs, sometimes he has a top hat and all of that. But like this game, it looks like it's a celebration of all forms of Pac-Man. He even has like Pac-Man getting big, like he did in Super Pac-Man, for example, right? Like his special powers. So, I'm a Pac-Man fan. I am excited to revisit this one, but yeah, it does need a lot of work.
I was going to ask you, since you're a Pac-Man fan, when the arms and legs go away, is it like with a like what a turtle does?
No, it's more like what hedgehogs do, where like they can be a ball of spikes and. Yeah, this was all explained when you blipped. Like it was,
right?
Yeah, they figured it out. His legs are still there; they're just kind of tucked in.
Oh, so they just kind of like fold and just look. Okay, that makes no sense at all. Sure.
Yeah.
Cool.
Somebody did an autopsy of a Pac-Man.
That's horrible.
And a Frankenstein.
That's even
and
worse.
And one Dracula.
That is even worse.
Mm-hmm. You don't want any more than one. Things get scary. Kat, do you have anything to add to the pack?
Wow, like I never got around to playing those games.
Back
in the day. So Pac-Man, I have, however, been playing a lot of Pac-Man Championship Edition and stuff like that.
That is fantastic.
Those
games are great. But it's so funny, right? We're getting KO the Kangaroo and like all these kind of like games you hadn't thought about in so many years. They're coming back and they're, you know, there's definitely something there. Like many of them learned things from Mario 64 and had their own spin on it. And like, you know, soon you'll be swimming in the air or the acrobats again and all of that.
So Pac-Man has managed to remain relevant, I think, longer. I mean, it's for funny because sure. I was going to say Bomberman, but we're getting another Bomberman this Nintendo Direct.
So. I think that was one of my highlights was Bomberman. You were talking earlier, you played Bomberman R, which when it came out wasn't that great and got patched and got better and better and better.
Yeah.
In this one, they announced it day one with a 15v1 mode. So it has a like a treasure chase mode where 15 players try to get to the treasure and one sad person, Seth, is going to have That's to me. Defend that treasure chest.
No, there's always there's people who, like, when a new console comes out, they just kind of black out and they buy as many launch games as possible and a bunch of accessories. It's like when you have a new baby or something, you buy all this crap you'll never
use. It doesn't matter if it's a bad game. It'll look great.
Exactly.
That's why I had Summoner for PS2.
Yeah. And I remember, the Switch came out. Everybody was playing Breath of the Wild. People were playing even, Snipper Clips and a bunch of other games. And I was in all of them. And then I was also like, but you guys want to play Bomberman? And everyone was like, no, thank you. And I was like, fine, I'll beat the entire single player mode in between all the Breath of the Wild stuff, Snipper Clips and everything else. And I really enjoyed it. And it's like, it's not, none of those games are like amazing, right? Like they're all a little rough around the edges. They kind of feel a little janky and a little cheap, but the core gameplay of Bomberman will always be really fun to me. I always have fond memories of local multiplayer in Bomberman. And I like what they're doing with this new one.
Lots of nostalgia in this Direct for sure. We also got Portal.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's nostalgic.
Finally.
Yeah.
Portal 2 is officially retro. It's been 10 years.
Man. That's nuts.
That's so weird.
Yeah. Honestly, any Nintendo fan who missed out on either one of those games when they came out, those are freaking amazing.
Just don't play them in a car.
I will say, even if you have played them and played them multiple times, one of the things that I always am surprised by when I start that game up is, first of all, how I don't remember how to solve any of the puzzles, but second of all, how fun it is to figure it out all over again. Like, they hold up. The writing, of course, is
the storytelling.
It's some of the best in video games, period. Mm-hmm. But I love the Portal games, and I will probably be getting
those. And you'll be rewarded with a Jonathan Colton song at the end of each game, which is, each one of them will stick in your head for many, many years to come.
Definitely a product of its time, but also it doesn't feel that way. Like, Jonathan Colton, when Portal came out, was like, oh my God, they got, this guy to do a song, a secret song at the end of a video game? Yeah. Holy cow. And now you're like, wait. Who is that? But you already know the song anyway. You know all the memes about Cake being a lie. It's up in the air. But who's it comes out today. So I'm curious as to who's adding this to their Switch SD card.
Portal 2 is my favorite video game ending of any time of all
really?
Time. It's so good. Come on.
It's not my favorite. Incredible. Yeah, it is
great. So good.
We were number 3 game on our list of the top 100 games of all time.
Yeah, right. So, play that one.
Highly placed. Yeah.
All right. Well, we need to talk about probably the most important game of all, which was Railgrade, which is a game where you lay down railroad tracks and you have to make deliveries as efficiently as possible. And best believe I was excited about this game. Who's with me?
I'm with you. I was going to say, Seth, this looks like a Seth game with the moment I heard the title. And then when I saw the footage, it looks great. It looks really, really cool. It looks like a big old mess when you got all the train tracks going, but it looks very pretty too.
Yeah,
I'm excited about it.
Kat and Brian are also excited too, but their cameras seem to have frozen.
Is it like the Japanese game, the very famous series? Is that Momotaro?
Oh, the Momotaro Dentetsu. Yeah, yeah.
There's an RPG and then there's a rail game.
That's the Dentetsu one. Not Densetsu. So the as a kid I had a big train set. I had LGB Lehmann Großbahn, Lehmann Großbahn, of course, right? Like big trains in my yard. They're all lost to time, unfortunately. So I think deep inside I've always wanted to reclaim that train set, and this might be it.
I think so. I'm really interested to see what it actually is. It just seems like a resource management game where you just run trains, but I want to know what the depth of it is. So I'm very excited. Oh, we also did not talk about, and I'm going to mispronounce this, so please, Doraemon. Story of Seasons, which is already out in Japan for quite a while, but looks wonderful and is coming to the United States. I don't have any familiarity with Doraemon.
Doraemon.
It's a little better than that. It's no, going to get better good. Each time you say it. Yeah. You get closer. Yeah.
He's just your average propeller-headed robot cat with
like
a magical
cat.
Bucket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Yeah.
Really popular Japanese kids cartoon, you know, long running, like probably longer than some of us have been alive. And they merged it with the first game. They merged it with Harvest Moon, and it's the real Harvest Moon team. So the Story of Seasons team, and it looks good. I didn't play it when it came out.
Beautiful.
But,
yeah. It looks like watercolor. Yeah, I'm excited. Brian, are you going to be doing some farming with a robot cat with a propeller on his head?
I will not, but I celebrate all of you who enjoy this character and his farm stuff.
Doraemon!
Mm-hmm.
Is that his catchphrase? He just
no, that's
his
what
name?
People scream.
Oh, okay.
They do? They just scream his name.
Everybody just screams
into the sky.
No, this is they, yeah, when
that's
I was
how you
the
summon
editor,
him.
This goes back when I was the editor of IGN64, way back when N64.com, a Doraemon game came out and it was a big deal in Japan. It was really, really bad. And when you booted the game up, it screamed Doraemon. So our entire office always screamed Doraemon at each other.
What a time that must have been. There was like 11 games on the entire N64. That was their whole job, was to talk about the only 11 games in the whole... Yeah, it was so good back then.
That's all, and we only played Doraemon 64.
Well, that's... We're going to be screaming Doraemon at each other when we get back with these Nintendo Direct recaps. But first, we're going to take a quick break. So, don't worry, because we will be back faster than a rubber band AI. We're in Mario Kart, so I'm just messing this up. Just come back. We're going to have a good time, so stick around. Welcome back to Nintendo Voice Chat. We are just about done wrapping up our coverage of today's jam-packed Nintendo Partner Direct. So we figured we'd take this time to discuss a few of the other things we couldn't get to earlier, such as Dragon Quest Treasures. And boy, didn't that look like a treasure. Who wants to go and collect treasures with me?
Why did you say it like that?
Yeah, why you gotta be all creepy about Dragon Quest?
How
do you pronounce
it? That's it. I can never.
How do you pronounce?
No, you pronounced it
treasures.
Right. You just enunciated in strange parts. So like it was
it's
like
T-R-E-A, so tree.
Like you were on a haunted hayride or so. Like it was like a. It was like a little weird.
There's Vincent Price here. That was not a Vincent Price at all. But yeah.
You could just keep going.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just going to spell out the word treasure. No, this is one of the probably the bigger games that people were definitely, I know in the NVC Facebook group, people were definitely hoping that this game would appear, and it did. And it looks adorable.
Yeah, it's a spin-off of Dragon Quest XI. Mm-hmm. Stars Eric and Mia, who are two of the characters. And Eric and Mia, I'm actually playing through Dragon Quest XI right now, and it's a bit of a tragic story. So I think going back to their younger days is very cute. Looks like an action RPG. They're both obsessed with getting rich and treasure, so it makes sense that treasure is like the main theme. I like the art style, and Dragon Quest has a really strong history of strong spin-offs over the years. So I think this is going to be good.
Well said.
Yeah, the Dragon Quest Builders games are... really wonderful, and I do love it. Yeah,
like Pac-Man, the Dragon Quest games generally are of very high quality, and you know, sometimes there's a waggle game or two that doesn't live up to the brand name. But like,
Dragon Quest Waggle,
usually you
Dragon Quest Swords or something like that.
Yeah, that wasn't so good.
It wasn't super great, but. Dragon Quest Heroes. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think there was a whole lot of Dragon Quest games announced a few months ago. Dragon Quest XII, of course. And Dragon Quest III is going to... That's another game that's getting an HD 2D look, which I'm very excited about, because Dragon Quest III is one of the OG great RPGs of all time. So,
Yeah. And it is very expensive to purchase on the secondhand market right now.
Oh.
I like the nervous laugh. Yeah. 300 smackers gone again. Okay, keep going.
I have an addiction, okay? I like to shop auction sites. And sometimes I think maybe I can afford this. And most of the time, I can't. So
you and Brian can do the QVC holiday special again.
I know.
Yeah. Can you afford returning to Monkey Island?
It's funny you should mention that, because at these prices, you can't afford not to. It's actually going to be coming to the Switch first. And that was another big game, Return to Monkey Island. And that is a launch Switch exclusive. It will be on other platforms. I'm going to guess all of them.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But yeah, everything. It's coming to Nintendo Switch first, which is kind of surprising, because when I think of Monkey Island, I definitely don't think of Nintendo at all.
Yeah, I mean, it has its roots in the computer age. I don't know if you remember this. People used to play games on their computers.
Those?
Yes. Yeah. No, it used to be a point and click adventure game. And you know, obviously on the Switch, you'll be able to navigate with the stick nowadays. But they're very classic adventure games where you explore and you solve puzzles and you know, in this franchise, it's always been about silliness, but also that sort of pirate adventure. You play as Guybrush Threepwood, the mm-hmm. hero of the franchise. Once again, and it's got an amazing score, really an earworm that will stick with you as well. I'm not going to sing it now, because then it'll never go away. Okay. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that one too.
Yeah, is that a LucasArts game, or were those Sierra
Online? It was a LucasArts game.
It was.
It was along with Maniac Mansion, mm-hmm. kind of invented humor in video games.
Yeah.
Oh, also one of the best Nintendo Power covers was that Maniac Mansion one.
Yeah.
And so I guess they're
classic censorship story from Nintendo too.
Oh, please expound upon that real quick. You can't just leave that hanging.
Oh my gosh! I mean, there was the hamster, right? Well,
yeah.
Now you're putting me on the spot, but go look it up. It's a classic one.
One of the. Well, yeah, I guess we won't spoil it, but there's a horrible, wonderful thing that happens.
There's a hamster in a puzzle, microwave, if I recall correctly.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Which was inspired by the Gremlins movie, which I don't want to spoil that either, but there's some Gremlins involved. Mm-hmm. But all right. We also saw Sonic Frontiers.
Yeah.
A new area, actually. Cyberspace, which no one has ever heard of that term before, but apparently it exists. It's a portmanteau of the words cyber mm-hmm. and space.
Yeah. I was looking forward to seeing how the game would look on Switch, so I was not disappointed. I think it looks
surprised.
Nice. Yeah, I think a lot of people are kind of torn over the look of the overworld in Sonic, and you know, does it stray too far from the more kind of vibrant, colorful, stripy design? But you can see in the cyberspace levels, you can see that classic Sonic look is present, and the camera is different as well, right? Like sometimes behind them, sometimes zooms out to the side. So I liked what I saw. I was curious how they would pull this off on the Switch, mm-hmm. And it looks pretty good so far. Hopefully it'll run smoothly in the end.
Yeah, all right. So that was our first look at the gameplay, actually, from Sonic Adventures. But what we need to talk about is what wasn't at this Nintendo Direct Partner Mini. Let's just get right to it. Everyone thought we were going to get Final Fantasy Pixel Remastered announced during this Nintendo Direct Mini. We got nothing.
Nope.
It's never coming to Switch ever again. So we can all just give up and go home. I mean, it's on your phone anyway, so just play it there. But yeah, what else was...
No Tactics Ogre.
There was no Tactics Ogre, right? Yeah. Tactics Ogre got leaked on Sony's PlayStation Store. And
that seemed like a lock.
And everybody's pretending that it doesn't exist. And it's like, no, they're like, it's coming, obviously. And I don't know why that wasn't part of this Direct. And then it is, at this point, confounding that there's no Hollow Knight.
Mm-hmm.
Xbox got it.
And that was I thought that would like let a little bit of the air out of the tires for the Nintendo fans who are always in the comments before every Direct.
Oh my god.
Not so much, because people still want the release date, and
maybe that's why they don't want to push it, because it's a launch exclusive, mm-hmm. You know. And yeah, but it would have been nice to get another look at that game.
Nintendo's like, Silksong, you're dead to me now.
Shunbox.
Like, speaking of leaked games, there was that GoldenEye remaster rumor for so long now, mm-hmm. and we got through two Xbox conferences, or whatever we call those things, showcases now. And now this thing, which is third party focused, and I was like, this had to be the one, and still nothing. Like, there is like that theory that like Xbox and Nintendo were working together on this, because everybody, the rights around GoldenEye, who owns the architecture of the levels, and then who owns Rare, who owns the James Bond license, blah, 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 blah. A lot of parties involved. But I want to see this game, I want to play it on Switch, and it's just not here all summer so far.
Can I propose Agent 64?
Yes, I just downloaded that demo to Steam Deck, and it's really cool.
I realized that really all I want is GoldenEye, but it's 60 FPS. That's what I want.
As opposed to the 13 FPS the original ran at.
If you're lucky.
I know. Yeah, it was a slideshow.
There was, we saw that, we saw a new detective game called, I had to look it up, it's Lorelei and the Laser Eyes Lorelei.
Oh yeah, of course, I really like the look of that.
Famous mermaid that used to hunt the Rhine River. When I was a kid, I befriended her briefly. No, but Lorelei looked cool, but it immediately made me think of that other detective game that people have been saying would be coming to the Switch, which is, of course, the Batman Arkham games. They were rumored to be part of this Direct, which turned out to be...
Every single port ever from the 360 era, always going to be rumored for Switch.
I know,
And I mean, it is coming true, right? You worked on that infamous IGN April Fool's video with everything is coming to Switch that gets crazier and crazier. And it's like, it's not a joke video anymore.
Most of that video came true, except for the stuff we made up, which still should
Like Vin Diesel's custody battle simulator is not coming to Switch, but everything else
Never
announced,
say never.
Everything
What's
else
that?
Announced.
Oh, it just got leaked. It's being published by Ubisoft.
Okay, all right. No, but it's no longer funny. It's like everything third party from the last generation and prior is coming to Switch, and so we were expecting Batman.
We had one of these partner directs a couple years ago, and I believe one of the it closed with the Hyrule Warriors game, which was technically first party published, but I believe not in Japan. And so there was some hopes of like the, maybe they're lying a little bit, they're fibbing a little bit about what is actually going to be in this thing. And like a game like Bayonetta 3, which is not technically third party, right? It's like published and funded by Nintendo, is still kind of in limbo, right? We haven't seen this game in so long at this point. And that bums me out because there's a couple games that I would have liked to see here today.
But Brian, it'll be in the July Direct.
Yeah,
oh,
keep hope alive, right? Yeah.
Don't say that. I was going to try to take time off in July, and when they said that there was a partner mini direct, I was like, I'm not going to be able to.
Well, we'll handle the upcoming indie direct or Nindie whatever, and then you'll come back for the proper
direct.
Forget for everyone.
They also announced that tomorrow Ubisoft is doing a presentation, and also Nintendo is doing its call with investors, not an investor call. So there's still like an endless summer of gaming news still to come. But Brian, I was also kind of surprised, but not surprised, about Bayonetta 3. We got a pretty substantial look at it last time. I guess that was quite a while ago now, but that was more than we had seen since the Nintendo Switch was first announced. But
oh my gosh, it's been so long at this point.
It's the Metroid Prime 4 of Bayonetta games. That's not true. We've seen more of it.
That one is still like that just hit the 5-year anniversary of being a logo, which is Prime. And I can't wait for it. It's one of my most anticipated games, but still
it'll be on the next Switch 2.
I mean, there's like, all in all, this Direct was like really cool, but it was like I think that like having a first party event before this or near this or something like that would have taken like the edge off of this one a little bit. Because I think there was a lot of expectations here, and it delivered on a lot of really cool stuff. But like ultimately, there's still a lot of games that we don't know anything about or haven't seen in a while that I want to know more about.
I, for one, am excited to play games from 5 years ago.
What about 10
Switch.
Years ago?
Or 10 years, or 20 years.
That's right.
There's a lot of nostalgia, a lot of ports. You want ports? You're going to get a lot of ports. That's how it is every time now.
I like how you said that, like used car sales. You want ports? You got ports. We got ports here.
That's the thing. I remember Portal 1 really well. I remember all the puzzles really well. But if I was taking a trip, going somewhere by train, like through the Carpathian Mountains or something, I would love to play Portal.
Not the train game. Right.
Yeah. Oh, I'm
And some of these games
game.
People
right.
never got around to actually playing, that kind of thing. And I think ultimately it's going to be a fairly solid holiday season, looking ahead to like Splatoon 3, Pokemon. There's a rumor of the Metroid Prime remake, which might get announced at
and
some
Rabbids.
Point.
Xenoblade Chronicles Rabbids. 3 is coming out.
We didn't
out
even
the
really talk
month.
About Rabbids. And that one, I mean, we did, but it looks, I mean, Ubisoft is going to be giving it a big push because it's one of their biggest games. So
Yeah, it's going to be a big holiday blockbuster for Ubisoft. And we'll find out more about it tomorrow during their Direct. And I'm also looking forward to the upcoming HD remake of the Ball and Cup game coming to Switch, the oldest game of all. So
yes, from the developers of Stick and Hoop. Yeah, it's going to be a big year.
Yep, and licking on a big lolly with your curly hair.
Yep, like there's Throw Rocks at the Tree, which is a great game.
I love that one.
Huge.
Oh, I'm a big... Yep. I used to be on the leaderboards, actually, for that one. So, but unfortunately, that is all the time we have for. So that wraps up this special edition of Nintendo Voice Chat. Thank you to my co-hosts for hanging out and talking Nintendo today, and to our lovely viewers and listeners for joining us. Remember, you can get new episodes of Nintendo Voice Chat every week on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. So be sure to tune in to the latest episode every week, or just, you know, pick like any random episode from the last 5 years, and it will still have just as much Metroid Prime 4 news as this week's episode, which is none. And that can probably hold true until the Switch 2.0. So thank you for listening, and remember, Nintendo Voice Chat is the only show where you can
get the thing.
Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit, but more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my two wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I'm hoping to open up the conversation about balancing careers and family. The one thing I constantly hear successful people say, without fail, is that they wish they'd spent more time with their kids. That's time no one can get back. So I decided to create Business Dad, to engage in the conversation about how we're spending our time now, providing a forum for successful dads to share their joys and challenges of being a working parent. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rainn Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier. And while this podcast will talk about business and will definitely be featuring dads, I think everyone can learn something from these incredible conversations as we unpack the expectations we all have about careers, relationships, and ourselves. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.